Now we're moving into stage, which what I would call the sink or swim stage, you know. And so now what we're really going to see is we're going to feel the brunt of the overall incapacity of the events that we're looking at, institutional or whatever. And we got to remember, too, that, you know, Mother Earth is reflecting what's going on in, with our species. She's reflecting it in her dynamics, too. They're out of whack. Okay? So we got to remember that, again, the picture is total. It's all-consuming, okay? It's like birth. There comes a point when it's all or nothing. Birth is an all or nothing event. If you don't get out, you don't survive. You need to move down that channel, and you need to come out, and you need to take your first breath. It's an all or nothing kind of thing. And that's why we have Pluto. This has to do with death and regeneration and has a lot to do with birth. We have Pluto opposing Mars right now. We also have it trining Jupiter, which is very good, or Jupiter trining Pluto. That's very good. So there's another side. There's another side with Jupiter trining Pluto that allows us to see deeply in a way that we haven't been able to see before. And there's a way there where we can, because they're both in earth signs now, Pluto's in Capricorn and Jupiter's in Taurus, we can see what corrective measures need to happen. Okay? So once we get past the logjam of everybody trying to destroy each other, and, you know, the bottleneck there. There is a place. We're supported by that perspective right now that we can make practical investigations and analysis that will result in what we need to change in our life or alter that will solve our situation. You know, it's very practical oriented. Because it's in earth signs. But we can be very practical. There's practical applications for our insight and for our investigation. That's basically what Pluto, Jupiter trine Pluto is. You know, and I've talked about that before as being a lot of scientific breakthroughs there and there. You know, but particularly with infrastructure. We could certainly bring the CCC back now. We could. People are talking about it. Bernie Sanders is talking about really getting a program going to work on our infrastructure here. And then when you start looking at infrastructure, you start looking at alternative forms of generating power.
Yeah.
You know? So, and that makes jobs. You know, I was going around all last summer. And that was one of the first programs that Obama got passed, $700 or $800 million program. Well, there were a lot of people out, stimulus program. We had one, and everybody was out repairing roads, you know, making the roads better, which was good. Put a lot of people to work. You know, why can't we continue that?
Right.
You can't have people participating as consumers who don't have jobs and don't have money. You can't have state governments collecting taxes off of people who are unemployed. The only way we can fix the problem is put people to work. Cutting taxes, cutting programs, cutting the budget won't work because it doesn't put money into people's pockets. And that's what drives consumption and demand, is people got to have money in their pockets. So this is really unfortunate that we're off on a gambit somewhere up a cul-de-sac that's not fruitful. But then again, I think people have decided that politics is more important, you know, and not the welfare of the country. But again, like I say, when you look down through this tunnel, the spiral tunnel, you can pop in anywhere along the line to make reference and to make commentary. And since it's all happening, you know, and since we've got a comet coming soon as part of this, we've got new input coming in from the outside. So that means we have to pay attention at the highest level, which means the level of the solar system or the cosmos. We have to be paying attention that our shoelaces are tied. At the same time, we have to be attentive to what's going on in the cosmos. This has never happened before in human history, in this epoch. This is the first time in whatever, a long, long time, thousands and thousands of years, that things have developed up to this pinnacle. This, and if you look at it as a pyramid, you know, you've got the base of a pyramid is a square, you know, the four directions. The top of the pyramid is a single point. And from the top of the pyramid, you can see the whole pyramid and you can see the surrounding countryside. So we're at the acme, in a sense. We're at the acme of a certain movement of growth in the human species. And now at this point, there's no place else to go. When you're at the top of the mountain, there's no place else to go. You have to go to a higher place in order to continue to grow. You've got to launch from the pinnacle to a higher place, a more rarefied place, a more exoteric place. And that's what we need to do with the way we're looking at things right now with our consciousness. We need to take it to a higher point. If you understand that the game is not about survival and the game cannot be based on scarcity, then what you're going to start to do is live with your neighbors and your friends in a very egalitarian and a very generous way. Now, if we were more generous with each other instead of carping and critical, then the whole quality of our communities would be different. And if we all had to get together and grow gardens in order to supply food, so here, this is another part of it that... if there was a breakdown, so to speak, and we all had to do victory gardens, people did victory gardens in World War II, then we could all help each other out and come out of, come away from our televisions and come away from our false connectivity that's controlled by somebody else who has profit on their mind. We come out of that, we turn our TVs off, and we come out into the street, into our street, and we start meeting our neighbors, and we start helping each other.
Oh yeah, we might actually even start to enjoy the sky and begin to develop a relationship with nature and with the plants. And it seems to me exactly what you're saying is at some point, part of where our journey goes, it seems very much. And you know, one of the things that comes to me with that is we seem to be on a path to ultimately realize that whatever limitations we appear to have in life, the real nature of abundance is not just terrestrial, it's celestial. Our abundance, we're awakening to an abundance that is cosmic in its dimension. And that we are barely new babes in relation to that immense recognition and realization. So there is something ultimately that is so uplifting and so hopeful for us, for our experience, for humanity, for our relationship to the world and to the living universe. And that's not a belief. That's not a hope. Although I feel it is a hopeful notion, I feel that's a reality. Because if we begin to just see what is directly available in our own life, within our own existence, and the resonance that is with the beauty and the presence, the aliveness of the universe that's right around us, that's our real mother. And we now are in a state of consciousness where we can begin to sense and directly know its dimensions. We're in a place. Our astronomers, for a very long time, have been getting to know the shape and dimensions of the near solar system, the near stars. We have a sense of the shape of the galaxy. We have a sense of our place in the cosmos to a certain degree as a whole galaxy. So we've already come very, very far in the work of discovering the truth, not a belief, but a direct realization of that quality of our own existence, that its essential nature is an abundance which is beyond all limitation, every limitation that we could imagine. And that's not something that will necessarily just pop into instantaneously. It seems like this is something that's been developing for quite some time as our awareness has grown, as our experience has grown. And perhaps now we're at a place where that growth and that experience is moving very quickly. But the synergy of it, the way that we share it together, is what makes it more and more real, more and more alive, more and more of what it truly is. So that, to me, is also very encouraging, and I feel not something to be believed, but it's something to be experienced. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can see it now, always ready. Already, I'm saying, it's here already. It's something that we can directly know, but it's our own perspective, our own hearts, that must know it, that must recognize it.
And well, the choice is we have to choose. We need to choose love or fear. The choice is ours, and the choice is now. Because how much longer can we continue to go down the sinkhole? You see, so there's the empowerment. There's the empowerment of Regulus and the Sun and Venus and Mercury, is to be able to know and to speak and to feel as a prevailing value within inside us. That affirmation, that choice of aliveness, you know, and, you know, our connection to each other, our oneness, our connection in a universe that's filled with beauty, our connection in our life in an environment that's full of love. And all you have to do is look for it and you'll see it. And you can look for the other thing too and you'll get validated for it. But slowly, slowly, you're going down the sinkhole of paranoia when you do that. It's time to choose now. Love or fear? I don't believe it's unreasonable to challenge the people who are listening right now to do that. Choose now, love or fear.